I'm Marty Moscow, and welcome to Radio Times. In a summer of bad news, there was a bright spot that captivated the Philadelphia region and eventually the nation. The Taney Dragons, with their star pitcher Monet Davis, played in the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And while they didn't win the championship, they won over untold numbers of fans for their sportsmanship, their pluck on the field, and of course for Monet, the first girl in Little League World Series history to throw a shutout. Now the phrase, throws like a girl, is a compliment. Monet Davis is our guest today on Radio Times, along with catcher Scott Bandura. Also with us is the manager of the Taney Dragons, Alex Rice, and parent Steve Bandura. We want to talk about their excellent adventure this year, the Taney Dragons system of fair play, and what sports can teach young people. And let me say hello to each of you individually. Alex Rice, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Monet Davis, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Scott Bandura, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And also with us, again, Steve Bandura. And it's been about 15, 20 years. Nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be back.
First of all, I just want to thank all of you, frankly, from the bottom of our hearts here at WHYY and also from the Philadelphia region for a wonderful summer, a wonderful August, and how much fun we had watching you. And I hope, Monet and Scott, you had fun as well. Did you enjoy your excellent adventure, Monet?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. It was fun.
It was fun. What was the best part for you?
Probably playing on the fields and playing against different teams.
Just being there on the field and pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And you also play first base, and I also saw you in the outfield.
Yeah, play first, third, and right field.
And right field as well. What was the best for you, Scott?
Well, I kind of have to say the same thing, playing on the field in front of so many people, but also getting to meet the teams from all over the world and being able to interact with them.
What was the best part for you, Alex?
I have to say the same. Playing, for those who know Williamsport and kind of nostalgize, romanticize baseball, being in Williamsport is everyone's dream. And to be able to walk out on Lomini Field with these two and the rest of the team and play another team is just a dream come true.
Were you nervous before games?
Before games, once the games start, you're into the game. But yeah, before games, you get a little nervous.
Just sort of thinking, what's going to happen? Are they prepared? Will they have fun?
Typical game where you just want them to be prepared and do well.
And for you, Steve?
Well, I can say the nervousness never stopped even after the first pitch,
right
to the last pitch. I was just, I mean, I'm not used to watching the game from the other side of the fence, you know, so there was
a
new experience for me, yeah, but I was just so worried that you know, there's no way these kids are going to be able to live up to all the hype, and they did, and they actually, you know, surpassed that. So I was just nervous for that, not the wins or losses, but hoping that they could live up to the hype. There's 35,000 people there. 34,950 are there to cheer for this team.
Right.
It was just unreal. It was surreal.
Yeah, and for you, Monet, you were kind of right in the middle of all the spotlight and attention. How were you able to keep the focus on the game?
Well, I just blocked everything out.
Did you?
Because I know if I get distracted, I won't really throw strikes. So I just, like, tried to block everything out and I just stayed calm and just played my game.
How do you do that? How do you block all that out?
Actually, I don't know. I mean, it's just normal for me. Like, I can only hear, like, certain voices, but I don't hear everyone else.
Oh, that's interesting. One of the things, and I read about you, a number of people said about you, is that you are one of the calmest people. Were you calm on the inside?
Yeah.
So you were able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
How about for you, you know, behind home plate there, Scott? How did you deal with all the attention?
Well, I blocked everything out as well. Like, the only person that I heard was Coach Alex and our guys on the field trying to communicate. And it's my job to call the pitches and catch them, so it was pretty easy for me.
Yeah. And you two have been playing together since you were, what, 7 years old?
Yeah.
So you can probably read each other pretty well?
Yeah. I mean, we don't even have to exchange any words, like just one gesture, and we know exactly what we're going to do.
Like what kind of gesture?
Like if something's like there's a miscommunication between us, and all I have to do is go out to the mound and say one word, and we both understand.
Right. I mean, it must be great to have someone behind home plate that you know so well.
Yeah.
And sort of know sort of all his ways of talking to you and his body language.
Yeah. Like, when you've played with the person for so long, you kind of know how they're, how, like, if they're mad or sad or whatever, you know how to cheer them up, and right. you know what to do because you've been around them for so long.
Steve, you were fielding phone calls even before the show began. How do you understand, or how do you even deal with, or what is your reaction to all the hype, as you say, on this team and these players?
It's really tough to understand. I guess it was just the right story at the right time. I mean,
and it was a summer of a lot of bad news, tough news.
I remember in the autobiography of Malcolm X, and he's talking about how Elijah Muhammad had two glasses of water on a desk, and he pours a little ink jar into the one glass and says, you know, if people are thirsty enough, they'll drink this, if that's all you're offering. But if you give a choice, they'll take the clean glass every time. And I feel that way about news stories, mm-hmm. too. If you give the people a good story, they want yeah. that. They'll welcome that story. And I think this just was the one.
But, I mean, they, you know, as you said, you've gotten calls from just about everybody across the country. They want to talk to Monet.
Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, it's every single talk show in the country, every radio station, every newspaper just wants five minutes.
that's the pitch.
That's everybody wants just 5 minutes. They can't understand why they can't get that.
I know you're busy, but...
Yeah. And is it what, just say no at this point, or?
I mean, we're just... narrowing it down. There's no way we could do even 10% of them. We're narrowing it down to the ones where we can get the message out to kids, where Monet will come off as, you know, as a role model to younger kids,
right.
and kids her age. And, you know, the ones that can really get the message out there about the mission of baseball in the inner city and what's possible when kids are given opportunity.
That's the kind of message. I wonder to you, Alex, as the manager, I mean, part of it is also had to have been managing all the pressure, the hype, the attention, the requests, and protecting your team from perhaps this onslaught of journalists.
It definitely was. I quickly realized when we got to Williamsport, when we left Bristol, and then the Monet sensation took off. I went to a Little League meeting up at the administration building, and in that 45 minutes to an hour, I came back, and there was 400 or 500 texts, you know, 600 or 700 emails, most of them related to the team and Monet.
Right.
That I would quickly need help. And I got it. Little League International was actually was very helpful.
Kind of a zone of privacy to some degree?
They did. They kept us, they reached out, they filtered through, and then I had asked parents to help, and our parents were tremendous in trying to, you know, keep it away from the kids, keep it off my plate, and let us focus on why we're there.
This is to both you, Scott Bendora, and also to you, Monet Davis. It must have been great, Monet, to have your mom, your stepdad, watching you, just to know that they were there.
Well, I kind of knew they were coming.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I kind of showed them. Well, they already knew how I play, so, I mean, wasn't really a surprise, but... for me, throwing to be the first girl to throw a shutout, I think that was probably like the best.
Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine how they felt about that.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? Were you in the zone that game?
Yeah. As the game went by, I was. Then the last batter, I got behind in the count, and I was like, I have to throw strikes. So I just like kind of shrunk the strike zone. So then I would throw strikes, and it worked.
And obviously it worked.
Yeah.
To you, Scott, I mean, thinking about having your dad both as a parent, but he's also been a coach of you before, what was that like for you?
Well, it was tough at first because there was some stuff that I wanted to ask him about, but I didn't have the opportunity to.
Right.
So, but he was at every game, so I got used to it.
Sort of knowing that he was there and watching you as well.
Yeah.
Steve, I know that you saw Monet, I guess, when she was, what, 6, 7 years old, saw her throwing a baseball?
No, I saw her throwing a football, actually, yeah, when she was 7.
And you, what did you see?
I saw a little girl and a group of, a 7-year-old girl standing in a group of 10-year-old boys. Actually, her cousin Mark was out there, and that's why she was at the game, some of her Monarchs after the game, and I just saw this little girl throwing perfect spirals, 20, 25 yards, you know, effortless, and, you know, I went down and introduced myself and invited her to, I had started this 7-year-old group of Monarchs and invited her to come, practice basketball with us and join the team, you know, and I said, you know, it's an all-boys team if you don't mind, and, you know, obviously she didn't mind.
Yes, clearly. Did you like being on an all-boys team?
At the time, I was really paying attention to it because I was still so young, but I was still into sports. So I didn't really mind.
I mean, it seems like you're a natural. I mean, you throw a 70-mile-hour fastball.
About, right.
If you would have seen, you know, the way these guys protect her at Williamsport, you know, walking around. After the first couple of days, Monet pretty much had to be carted around because of the people. But, you know, to see her walking with her teammates surrounding her and, you know, to get to the games or whenever, that's the way they look at her.
I'm curious how you coach, you manage, but what is the, I guess, the philosophy of the Teeny Dragons?
Of this team in particular?
Yes.
At this point, these kids are at such a level. They're 12. Most of them at this point are 13. They know what to do in large part, whether they're going up to an at-bat. They know what to do. We've already talked about the pitcher, his tendencies. We're prepared. In the field, it's the same thing. They know what to do in different situations. There's a lot of coaching and practice and preparation. But once we get to the game, they don't need a lot of yelling and instruction. They know what to do. And I think that's one of the differences between this group and a lot of the 12-year-old groups that you'll see is just their acumen, baseball acumen, and preparedness to play and play against an opponent. They get baseball, and they know how to win.
Yeah. You felt prepared, Monet, for the games, mentally, physically prepared?
Yeah, at the beginning. Then, I kind of got nervous. Like the first game, first two games, I was actually really nervous. But after like the first inning, I guess the nerves went away, and it was just playing another little league team.
Well, we're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation talking with Monet Davis and Scott Bandura, both members of the Teeny Dragons, went to the Little League World Series this summer and have gotten a lot of attention in the last couple of weeks. Also with us is Alex Rice, the manager of the Teeny Dragons, and Steve Bandura, a parent. We want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Time. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
AT&T Productions, Philadelphia's all-comedy theater company, supports WHYY. Tickets are available for Alan Ayckbourn's Intimate Exchanges, starring Jennifer Childs and Anthony Lawton. A part of the 2014 Philadelphia Fringe Arts Festival, Intimate Exchanges features 8 possible outcomes and puts the audience in charge of the story. This award-winning comedy plays August 28th through September 21st at the Arcadia Stage in Arden Theater in Old City. Tickets and info at 1812productions.org.
Your days are busy.
Work, school, errands, kids.
It never stops.
And the news never stops either.
You can keep up between Morning Edition and All Things Considered with Here and Now. Hi, it's Robin Young.
And Jeremy Hobson. Here and Now brings you breaking news, developing stories, the latest in the arts and innovation.
Asking tough questions, unpacking complex issues.
From across the country and around the world.
Join us.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
Hi, I'm Terry O'Reilly. Author Joel Selvin joins me to talk about his book, Here Comes the Night, about Burt Burns, one of music's most elusive characters. Joel Selvin on Burt Burns and the Dirty Business of Early R&B, coming up on Cue the Summer from PRI, Public Radio International.
tonight at 9 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe. And just a quick recap here, talking with Alex Rice, the manager of the Taney Dragons baseball team. His son Jack, a pitcher and a third baseman for the team. One of the team's best base runners, I should add. Monet Davis, a pitcher, first baseman, also played outfield for the Taney Dragons. And also with us, Scott Bandura, a catcher for the Taney Dragons, and has played with Monet since they were both 7 years old. In fact, they both attend Springside School or Springside Chestnut Hill Academy here in Philadelphia. And also with us, Steve Bandura. He's one of the parents of the Taney Dragons, founder and coach of the Anderson Monarchs baseball team, and he works for the Philadelphia Recreation and Parks Department. And I do want to play a clip, and this is earlier this summer. Monet Davis challenges Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw to a pitch-off. Let's listen.
Clayton Kershaw, I challenge you to a pitch-off.
Hey, Monet, just wanted to say congratulations on making it to Williamsport. That's awesome. Such a cool thing for you get to do, such a fun opportunity. And I heard you're ready for a pitch-off. I don't know exactly what that means, but, you know, I'm prepared. I'm ready for whenever you can make it out to L.A. Just let me know.
What's a pitch-off, Monet?
I don't know.
But you're ready for it, right?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
What has it been like, I guess, the last couple of days? This is to you, Alex, sort of coming down from all the excitement.
The biggest aspect of the past few days is coming home. We've been on the road for 4 or 5 weeks. You know, once we went up to Bristol, they take you straight on a bus up to Williamsport. And then we get somewhat sequestered, I'll say, there in the Grove. And we talk to parents, and they say, you know, there's excitement back home about the team, which you would think, but you assume it's in the circles that you're familiar with.
Right.
And the parents are like, no, you don't understand. There's a lot of excitement back home. And we're just now getting a sense of it. As, you know, I take Jack or Penelope, my 5-year-old, just walking down the street to, you know, get a coffee or go to Walgreens or something.
Right.
We're stopped 4, 5, 6 times by strangers congratulating us and thanking us for, you know, the past several weeks. And that's right now, that's kind of when it's sinking in.
Yeah. I mean, those are heartfelt thanks, you should know. Can you walk down the street, Monet, without being mobbed?
Actually, I don't know. I didn't even try.
But you're gonna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And both of you have school that starts, what, next week sometime?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you ready to go back, or...? Yes, no, you can be honest.
Not really, though.
Not really. How about for you, Scott?
I'm not that excited, but I'm also anxious a little bit to go back. I don't know.
Just sort of how people are going to see you, that kind of thing. Yeah. I wonder, Steve, too, as well, for you, and you've been involved in sports and baseball. You were a guest on the show when the Anderson Monarchs were just getting started. In fact, began your, I think you were coming back from your road show, the Jackie Robinson.
Right, the Barnstorming Tour.
Barnstorming Tour. This was back in the late 1990s. This has really been such a passion for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the greatest job in the world. I mean, working for Parks and Rec and being able to do what I love to do, and I say this all the time, I get more out of this than the kids, just to see the success and, you know, feel like you've been a part of it is just really so rewarding. And that's what Parks and Rec Department offers, you know. You can do, you know, follow your dreams, follow your passions, and make a living at it. It's the greatest job in the world.
Something you said, ability without opportunity is nothing. That's kind of a mantra of yours.
Exactly. I mean, if Monet's not there that day throwing the football around with her cousin, you know, she may not have even picked up a baseball. She'd be, you know, probably playing mostly basketball, I'm guessing. And, you know, we have a soccer player, Darius Madison, who's going to his junior year at University of Virginia. He was high school All-American at LaSalle. If he doesn't live with his grandmother across the street from the rec center, he never touches a soccer ball. And he's going to turn pro. He's got several offers to turn pro next year. So, yeah.
So it's the opportunity. And sort of feeling like kids, probably everywhere, not all kids have the same opportunity.
Right, and all kids should have the opportunity. What they do with it is up to them. But if I always say, how many Beethovens never had a chance to sit down at a piano?
Right.
You'll never know. So that's their mission. For every kid we have, for every Monet, there's probably 10 more out there that'll never get the opportunity, and we need to fix that.
Yeah.
And I wanted the same. And I used to work out in the suburbs, and every day when I drive out the back roads through the city, you just drive through down the different streets, and you wonder how many kids live here that just haven't gotten the opportunity or don't know about a program. And that's where Steve's program and all the rec centers, their reach, you just wish would grow in order to reach all these kids. Because you just know there's kids all throughout the city who haven't had an opportunity to, you know, enjoy and get what Steve's provided and the other recreation centers have.
I mean, what's so sort of weird about sports and kids is that all those cliches are true, aren't they? Steve Bandura about, you know, coming from behind and, you know, winning at all costs and learning how to lose and being a good winner and a good loser as well.
Yeah, that's the main, you know, it's not just winning and losing games. And we were extremely fortunate, and there's so much luck that goes into making it to Williamsport. I mean, one run into one hot pitcher and your dream is done, and one kid hits a home run and it's over. It's those other, you know, characteristics that they get out of sports that are the most important, and the things they learn through playing. You don't, not necessarily hammering it into them, and you know, they just pick it up through their experience, you know, which is the best way to learn.
You did lose. I mean, was that a hard thing, Monet?
Well, not to me.
I mean, we made
it this far.
You absolutely did.
Kind of wasn't really mad about losing, but I mean, when you see other people on your team crying, it's like, then you start to think about it. Then you just have to like show them that you're not like hurt. But I mean, it was pretty hard. But lost to a pretty good team.
I noticed you didn't cry, but you were really helping your teammates who were.
Yeah, I was trying to help them out.
Yeah, which is a really nice thing. How about for you, Scott?
Well, I was upset when we lost because I knew that if we had won that game, we'd had a very good chance of winning the next game because we would have Monet able to pitch the whole game, and we had seen that team before. And we know about them.
Yeah, that was a Nevada team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a big, we were talking about this before the show began, some really big players on that team.
Yeah. I mean, and just to let everybody know, and, you know, where Alex was coming from and the coaching staff for that first time we played Las Vegas, we knew either way we would have to play them again two nights later. So the idea was just to see that if Monet could handle the top of their lineup, because no one had up until that point, all the way through their tournaments, no one had. They were 18-for-22 coming into the game, and Monet handled them. She struck them all out, and some of them had never struck out before in the tournament. So she struck them all out. We knew that, she can handle this. So that's why she was pulled out of the game at 50 pitches, so she'd be eligible to come back two nights later. A lot of people were confused about why she came out of the game, but that was the plan that Alex had coming in, and it was a great plan, and it worked exactly how we wanted it to.
You want to add to that, Alex?
We did. We felt confident if we got to Saturday, and that just didn't quite work out. Yeah, there was a lot of strategy. We saw with the Vegas team, I mean, going to the 6-3-1, we knew we could compete. And as Steve is indicating, we knew how to approach the game. So we felt very good about our chances on Saturday. We liked our chances on Thursday, too, and it didn't work out. You know, we'll tip our hat to the Chicago team.
Yeah. So and you stayed for that, right? You stayed till the very end?
We did. We left Sunday morning. We missed the international game, but we saw the U.S. championship, and we're thrilled for Jackie Robinson
and their
kids. Our kids got to know the Chicago team really well, exchanged jerseys and pins and the whole bit. But I think that's part of the reason the kids were upset was you go into this saying the dream is to get to Williamsport.
Sure.
And that's it. And then we saw that we could compete, and we got the first win, got the second win. There's a lot of excitement, particularly from home.
Yeah, I bet.
So I think the closer you get, the more it hurts when it doesn't occur. But I think now a few days removed, they're letting the whole summer journey sink in, and they're they're fine.
Do you remember what you said to the to your team after that loss?
I do.
What did you say?
It was similar. That no regrets, nothing to hang your head. They did everything and beyond. Nothing to feel bad about. They were tremendous. I thank them for the summer they gave me, all the families, the parents, themselves, and that we wouldn't be there without every one of them. All 12 contributed to the ultimate success we had this summer.
Yeah. Was that helpful?
If I can add this one. I saw this quote from Yogi Berra. It said, "Little League baseball is a great thing. It helps keep parents off the street."
There's some truth to that, isn't
there? Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Do parents have certain rules they have to abide by with Taney Dragons?
You want to answer that, Alex?
I mean, you know, some Little League parents are, you know, known to yell and scream and carry on.
They can yell and scream as long as it's just positive for the kids. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, there's not much for them to do but provide positive reinforcement for their kids. The kids don't need instruction, particularly during the game or particularly after the game. They just need to be told that the parents enjoyed watching them that day, and that's about it.
And we all had fun. Could you hear your parents, Money?
Kind of. I know.
Even though I know you were shutting things out.
Yeah. I can hear, like, certain parents and siblings that you heard them so many times, you know their voice.
Right.
So that's how it was.
So what did you all do when you weren't either practicing or playing baseball or just for fun downtime, Scott?
Well, in the Grove, we spent a lot of time in their recreation room. There were 4 ping pong tables, arcade games, and we spent a lot of time in there.
Was that fun? I mean, so just to do something else, get your mind off it. Yes, you're nodding there, Monet.
Yeah, because, I mean, if I went down to the game, I wouldn't be able to watch the game. So I kind of stayed in the rec room, and I watched the game on TV, and I, like, played ping pong with different people from around the world, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to get out of town, and I know part of what you do with the Monarchs is to get out of Philly to barnstorm, but also for Little League teams to get out of their hometown and see the world and meet people from all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's exposure is everything. You know, exposure is everything. You get out and you have actual life experiences to base your opinions on, and rather than just what you hear, and it's invaluable. It really is.
Monet, do you still want to play basketball for UConn? I know that. Yes, absolutely. No baseball in between, or you'll stick with baseball?
I'll probably still do baseball as long as I can.
And why UConn? I know you've had your eye on that college for a while.
Yeah, I've liked that college for a while, actually. I mean, one of my favorite WNBA players went there, which is Maya Moore.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've liked that college for a while.
You also like Skylar Diggins.
Yeah.
And Stephen Curry. Mm-hmm. Those were your three I saw that you told ESPN.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And you like them because what you like? The
I like
way
their
play?
Style of play. I mean, they're not like selfish with the ball, and it's always a lot of passing and a lot of fundamentals.
Interesting. And Scott, are you going to stick with baseball, or do you play other sports as well?
I play basketball and soccer as well, but I would like to stick with baseball.
And what do you like about catching?
Well, I just like the perspective back there. You can see the whole field and. Right. You can work with the pitchers, and you get to know them really well.
And you get to see batters up really close, too, right? You kind of get a sense of what, how they're feeling. Can you say that to Monet or somehow signal to her?
Well, no. Well, if I see, like, the batter, his tendencies, and, like, what pitch that he doesn't like or a pitch that he likes, I'll tell her, and we'll try to exploit the weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you care about the umpiring? I mean, is that whatever a strike Go ahead, Steve.
I care about the umpire, and I think that was one of the major... That's one change that Little League needs to make, because there's too much riding on, and there's too many people watching, and there's so much pressure on the kids. And not to know what the strike zone is inning to inning is just not...
Is that what it felt like?
Yes,
or it looked
it's like? Just not, not fair to the kids. And the whole volunteer umpire, you know, the whole Americana, oh, yeah, we're... That's got to stop. They need to get good officials for the kids. It's not fair to the kids.
Because the kids...
And I'm not just talking about our team. I'm talking about all the teams. Yeah.
Because the kids know, I'm assuming.
Oh, they absolutely. Everybody knows. I mean, there are 5 million people watching one of our games at home and 35,000 people there. And they all knew. So it just needs... That's one change that needs to be made for the kids' sake.
Yeah, Alex, looks like you want to add.
It does. Little League, for all of it, they do well. That's just one thing. I was from... Tournament long, I was just really surprised.
Really? The whole time?
I'm not blanket coverage, but at that stage, Williamsport, there's, as Steve says, it's just not fair to the kids playing at that level to have one pitch, a strike or a ball, dictate a count, which can lead one way or the other in a game. That's a change that needs to be made.
Could you see that, Monet, as you were pitching?
Yeah, I mean, certain... Like, innings, it depends what game it was. Like, the strike zone would kind of change. But, I mean, there was some few good calls that could have been, like, that could have been pretty close.
Yeah.
But, like, if it was, like, way outside and they called it a strike, I kind of felt bad for the batter. Cause it's, like, taking a strike away from him. And that's, like, you don't feel, you're not as confident as you were when you first came up to the plate. So you kind of, like, not really the fun of it.
Yeah, yeah, because you feel like you don't know what you're aiming at, I guess.
Yeah.
And the same for the
batter. I mean, you
got to
swing at, like, pitches outside or in the dirt. So.
Yeah.
Can I make one point real quick?
Of course, go ahead.
Just that Monet said, you know, you kind of feel bad for the batter while she's pitching.
Yes.
And I just want to say this about these kids. For the level of empathy that these kids have is just way beyond their years. When we beat Delaware for the championship, in the championship of the regional, they had gotten to know Delaware really well, and their players were crying after the game, and some of our players were on the verge of tears just because those kids were in it. You know, you don't see that in a lot of adults, alone 13-year-old kids, and I just wanted to, give them credit for that, because it's amazing to see at this age.
I mean, is that something that's taught, or you think it just comes from their hearts?
It's both. It's a little both.
Character,
you know,
as well.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean, empathy, you can steer them toward the, you know, whether they have it or not inside them is another thing, but, you know, we always try to steer. I mean, they have bracelets on, you know, our Monarchs, what do you call them?
What do we got?
Wristband.
Yeah, and then it's four characters.
Oh,
character
empathy,
traits.
Accountability, integrity, leadership.
Mm-hmm. So that's just there as a reminder for them, but they have it. They're just amazing, really amazing kids.
Well, and I think, and we're almost up in a break here, and I think, you know, as a viewer watching you all play, we got it. I mean, we got those kinds of leadership and as you say, empathy skills. They came through the TV set. Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation talking with some members of the Teeny Dragons, including Monet Davis and Scott Bandura, Alex Rice, the manager of the team, and also with us, Steve Bandura. He's parent of the team, but also founder and coach of the Anderson Monarchs baseball team here in Philadelphia. To join our conversation, 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Longs Park Amphitheater Foundation supports WHYY and presents the 36th Annual Longs Park Art and Craft Festival. This fine art and craft show will be held rain or shine Friday, August 29th through Sunday, August 31st in Lancaster's Longs Park. 200 fine artists and craftspeople will display an array of jewelry, apparel, paintings, ceramics, mixed media, and more. Wine, craft beer, artist demonstrations, and an art raffle are planned. Tickets and details online at longspark.org.
Louis C.K. won an Emmy this week for writing an episode about a fat girl for his series Louis.
Guys like you never flirt with me.
On the next Fresh Air, he'll talk about writing that episode And we'll feature an interview with Sarah Silverman, who just won an Emmy for writing her HBO variety special, as we continue our mini-series of interviews with this week's Emmy winners. Join us
this afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
Canadian coffee and a muffin and a whopper of a deal. Burger King buys Canada's breakfast king, Tim Hortons. Is it a sign of desperation in fast food or just a tax dodge? And organic Chipotle is making inroads against the greasy standbys of fast food. That's next time on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen, again talking with Alex Rice, manager of the Taney Dragons baseball team. What was I thinking? He's also an architect here in Philadelphia. His son Jack was a pitcher and third baseman for the team. Monet Davis, a pitcher, first baseman for the Taney Dragons. She also did play outfield. She was also featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Scott Bandura, catcher for the Taney Dragons baseball team, and he and Monet have played together since they were 7 years old with the Anderson Monarchs, and that's a team founded by Scott's father, Steve, and both of them attend Springside Chestnut Hill Academy. And Steve Bandura with us as well on Radio Times, 1-888-477-9499. And you can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. We have an email. Congratulations. I hope you had a great time. I have a question regarding the youth baseball environment in Philadelphia. The Urban Youth Initiative in Major League, Baseball announced a partnership with the city to build a baseball program supporting academics and skill development. Has anything happened? Do you know anything about this, Steve?
I'll be running that when it opens.
Oh, you will?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of press. I think it's finally moving forward. The press conference was September of 2010, announcing that it was about to be built. And
that's four years ago, right?
The partnership, and you have this, you know, these lawyers dealing with these lawyers, and all the delays that causes. And it's finally moving now. They built the second baseball field down at FDR Park, and the engineers were out drilling soil samples at Marian Anderson Rec Center, where they're going to put the indoor facility. So hopefully that's going to be moving. And I saw something from Commissioner DeBerardinas yesterday that they expect construction to start this winter.
Oh, good. Oh, good. And where, for instance, I was reading a bit about Taney Dragons and some of the history of the team, and also there are a bunch of other teams affiliated with Taney Dragons. And I think you, Alex, found a site or perhaps equipped a site down by the airport so you guys could practice in the winter.
All right. Yeah, the nature of playing in the city is we don't have a field, a home facility or anything. We, through, you know, Steve has the parks and recreation, we get permits to play on all the different fields. Right. And we have to renew them each year and hope that, we get the same ones. Our league, it was been around for about 20 years. And continues to grow every year.
Yeah.
And the board that runs it tirelessly is really an incredible group. We're always fighting for space, particularly as the league grows. And what I did this year for my group, it was our 12-year-old, our last year of youth baseball.
Yep.
And we knew we wanted to do everything we could to have a successful summer. So I had a parent meeting back in August and outlined my expectations for the upcoming year, and we started working right after Labor Day outside, and then as soon as daylight savings came, I had rented a facility and outfitted it with all sorts of secondhand used equipment down by the airport, a big warehouse distribution center. And we were there November, December, January, February,
wow.
You know, twice a week working, you know, towards our goal.
But I also read that it only had, 12-foot ceilings or something? Isn't it?
A little more.
It's
about 17, 18
oh, okay.
feet. It was enough to throw the ball back and forth. And we had about 100 feet, had pitcher's mounds built in there. And we could get a good workout. It was a little tight with when I had 8, 9, 10 kids. But, you know, 6 or 7, it was a good hour and a half that practice we could get in.
What do you like about practice, or are there certain things you do like about practice, Money?
Well, during practice, it seems like you're getting used to your teammates more and you're getting to know them more. So that's how I am during practice. And, I also learn their body language.
Oh, interesting.
Like, you can tell when someone's mad when they're hitting in the cage. So you just calm down and just, stay calm and get the next pitch. Or if someone's, mad at someone, you can kind of tell. So I get used to their body language and their reactions.
Yeah. And for you, Scott, curious about what you enjoy from the practice part.
Well, normally during practice, we keep it loose. We're talking. We're not very serious. We know we're just getting better as we're going on. And we're talking and hanging out, but as we're working and getting better.
So what do you do that's not sport? That's just, if you're home, what do you like to do, Monique?
Eat, sleep, watch TV.
I'm actually glad to hear that. How about for you, Scott?
Well, I watch TV sometimes. I'm a fan of MLB Network, and I watch that a lot. And lately, I've been trying to get done some of my summer reading.
I saw, in fact, you brought a book here and squeezing it in. Yeah. What do you like? What are some of your favorite TV shows, Monty?
See, I'm a big Disney Channel person.
That's good.
So I watch Disney and Nick a lot. Sometimes I'll watch ESPN.
Right. Some people think this is a Disney movie. I don't know. Do you sometimes feel that way?
Yeah,
Steve?
I mean, it certainly has the, all the makings of one.
Have people approached with things like that? I know you've been inundated with calls and requests.
Yeah, I've gotten several that want, just asking if they could have the movie rights. Oh, sure, here you go. Yeah,
it doesn't work that way, does it?
They're that bold, and book rights and things like that, and... I had gotten a grant earlier this year to do a documentary on the Anderson Monarchs program, the history of it, and kind of follow this Monarchs team from this year, through this year, and even before we, got into the Little League tournament, we had an unbelievable experience in Cooperstown, a tournament with 32 teams from around the country. It was just outstanding, and that would kind of be the culmination of the documentary. And I'm really looking forward to it. Patrick Floresio, Floresio Films, is doing it. He's outstanding.
Oh,
he's so creative. I'm just really looking forward to that. So we're not ready to give away the movie rights.
I'm actually very glad to hear that. So did you play, Alex, did you play baseball as a kid?
Oh,
were
absolutely.
You a little leaguer?
I'm from Boston, where all things baseball are...
So are you still a Red Sox fan, or have you gone over to the dark side?
No, I am a Phillies fan. They play in different leagues, but my happiness is a direct correlation to the success failures of the Boston Red Sox. I loved baseball, everything about it. These 12 kids are better than I ever was.
Really, are they?
Absolutely. I had some success, but played through up until high school. But didn't pursue it, but that never dampened my love of baseball. And we go up every summer to Fenway. And
oh, do you?
I take Jack, and we watch games on our way up through New England. So
baseball's in your blood. Same for you, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Growing up, I grew up in Northeast Philly. And, we did multiple sports. I think that's the difference. I mean, we never really specialized. But it was, it was nothing. We never rented a warehouse down by the airport to train in the winter. We would have loved that. The whole environment was so much different back then. But I know the one thing we were ahead of the curve on was sports medicine, because you could have a bone sticking out and the coaches would tell you rub some dirt on it.
Can't do that anymore, can you? We have an email from Mary. Will Monet continue with baseball and Little League during the next couple of years?
Yes, I will continue to play baseball.
Now, do you move up to the next level in the league?
I don't know if we're going to do the intermediate, but I will be playing 60-90.
That's the pro size field.
So that's bigger spaces between the bases and also... home plate and the pitcher's mound, right?
Yeah.
So you got to work on
that. Big difference.
Yeah, big difference. Yeah.
And that's next year. The 13-year-olds, it's a big jump. There's no kind of halfway. They go from 12 playing on the little field, 46-60 or 50-70, right up to the 60-90. And unfortunately, this is the year where we'll often lose kids just because the jump is so big.
How do you prepare? How do you prepare for something like that, Monet?
Well, for school,
are you working on your pitches? Yeah,
for school, I play 54-80.
Yeah, and some 60-90 as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, I pitched for school, and it wasn't really a big difference. I mean, I wasn't throwing super hard, but I was throwing, like...
Strikes.
Yeah.
Strikes.
Yeah,
there we go.
Strikes.
There's a name for
it. And so it doesn't really feel like a big difference, but when you're running on the base path, that's probably the biggest difference. And trying to hit the ball, because the infield's so big, so it doesn't really travel anywhere.
Yeah.
And Monet was the first girl to ever play on the boys. And she was on the boys' middle school varsity team for Springside Chestnut Hill this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. And you're going to continue to play, Scott, as well?
Yes.
Same position?
Yeah, catcher and center field.
And how are your knees?
Knobby.
Does that hurt, though? I mean, you're still young, so you can, you know, you've got some life left in them.
Yeah.
What's so interesting about the Tandy Dragons, and I do want to talk about the Anderson Monarchs as well, is that it is, as I read about it, Alex, you know, without parents, without volunteers, a volunteer board, people pitching in, cleaning up after games, laying down tape, all that kind of thing, that's really also a part of the story.
It is, but it's not that dissimilar from other suburban little leagues where it's almost all volunteer as well. I mean, we have our different challenges. Because it's a city, trying to get to a 5 o'clock practice through rush hour traffic through the middle of downtown center city, lots of carpooling. And
which
also
means lots of coordinating too, right?
A lot of coordinating, because on our team alone, I think there's the 12 kids attend 7 or 8 different schools. So unlike, I think, in the suburbs where all the kids will be in one school or two schools, I think there's just a lot more coordination to get it done. But that's just during the spring and during the school year. I mean, this summer, that was a whole different story. Just trying to keep it together for the past 2 months has been extraordinary. And the amount of work that I put in and the kids put in just pales to what the hours that the parents put in behind the scenes that nobody saw. But they held this whole thing together for the past 6-7 weeks. And
a lot
can't
to
thank
do.
Them enough.
Are you going to miss your teammates? I mean, now that you're kind of scattered into different schools, Monet?
Yeah. I'll miss most of them. But, I mean, I go to school with Scott and Jolie, so I kind of see them, like, every day. And we also play basketball and soccer together, so I see them a lot. But most of the team I'll probably miss because I don't really see them as much. But I know I'll see them around, so I guess I'll miss them.
Yeah. How about for you, Scott?
Well, we still communicate with each other. We have each other's phone numbers. We communicate on social media.
That helps.
And so we're never really that far apart. So we're still going to talk.
And is Eric Lipson, does he always smile?
Yes.
Yes.
it was adorable. What can I say?
Yeah, that's one word for it. No, Eric's great. Eric's great. I mean, you could even hear the announcers. The announcers kind of got Eric, too, when every time he came up, and there was always like a little chuckle. You know, he's entertaining.
You know? He looks like he is. Yes, Monet. A question from Kevin, maybe our engineer, Kevin. Yes, he's just waved at us. Can you talk about the signs you make when you throw a strikeout?
Well, those are the outs. Like, if there's one out, you throw one. Two outs, two, and then three outs, you just run off the field.
And is that your thing, or is that?
No, I think everyone does it. In baseball should do it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's new to me, yes?
Everyone thought that I was like, I struck the guy out twice, I'd be like, 2 outs. But it's just, I just do them for the outs.
Let me see if I can squeeze Barbara in. Barbara from Chestnut Hill, go ahead, you're on Radio Times. Hi, Barbara, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks.
Sure.
I just had a little comment and a question. My son went through Mount Airy baseball for many years, and I always found that going to those games was much more fun and exciting than kind of going to his school games. And I'm just wondering whether as parents, Scott and Alex have kind of found that the Taney games versus the school games are kind of different.
Well, let's see what Steve said.
The kids' games, are a lot more fun. They're not as serious as, you know, for the most part, as the school games. But when the kids start playing in school, they're a little older, so the games become a little more serious, and they're on the big field. It is a whole different atmosphere. But from a competitive standpoint, it's more competitive. There's more emphasis placed on winning at the school level than there is on the neighborhood level, where it's more on like development and fun. But I enjoy both. I coach an 18-year-old team for the Phillies RBI program. It's a very high level of play, and it can get extremely exciting. And to see the game played at that level and played at the right way, it's a good thing as well. But yeah, I missed. You know, these guys are 13. They were in my mind last year. They were 7.
Yeah.
So it's going by really quickly, and it was been so much fun.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
I enjoy both. In the spring, I have the in-house direct league with the kids who broad spectrum of talent and enthusiasm.
And sizes too.
Oh,
right?
Sizes absolutely. In the in-house, there are many more females who play. Hopefully, next year there's a lot more. But I also enjoy the summer teams, the really competitive kids playing at an elite level.
And I'd say Moni went, yes, more girls playing baseball, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. And again, our thanks to all the pleasure that you gave us this summer. And congratulations on all you did for baseball and for Little League as well. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome. And again, our guests have been Moni Davis, a pitcher, first baseman for the Taney Dragons, Scott Bandura, catcher for the Taney Dragons, Alex Rice, manager for the Taney Dragons, and Steve Bandura, a parent. He also works for the Philadelphia Recreation and Parks Department, founder and coach of the Anderson Monarchs baseball team. And we want to close things out with Monet's walk-up song, and this is Run the World by Beyoncé.